Dear children of God, you are named into the family by adoption, and it is through him that you have become gods. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's an interesting tune that has turned into a carol by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And not everyone will appreciate the quiet. I haven't found many of the videos that did what I felt that that video captured, was that it was kind of unique. Quiet, perhaps. Just Mary and Joseph until the shepherds showed up. Oh, and a few animals, of course. What is Christmas like now? In certain subdivisions, it's who can put on the most lights. If you live anywhere near Tim Allen, you know, it's going to be a power surge. You're looking for something massively entertaining. So a pastor was out with his family, and they were touring. Especially the little guy was just fascinated. He was almost out of his seatbelt, and you know how you don't want to transgress, but they couldn't help but look at the lights and ooh and ah. And the little girl, 10 years old, said, "Isn't it wonderful what Christmas feels like, Dad?" And then after a long pause, she tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You're not going to try to explain it all again this year, are you, Dad?" Well, of course. You know, isn't there something truly wonderful about Christmas? About what it does even in our various different family traditions? The opening of presents, the decorating, the wonder of red and black and sometimes blue. This year we have blue on the screen. You know, it's an interesting thing also then to hear just what the angels said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to mankind. Now, I use the EHV. It is a brand new publication. It's only the New Testament and Psalms so far. Because what they did, they called it the Evangelical Heritage Version. They kind of went back to the King James Version. Do you remember? It went from the NIV, which said goodwill on earth to those whom on whom his favor rests. And the King James had said, peace, goodwill to men. I suppose you can say, well, just to men? You know, aren't you going to include the ladies too? So they went back to that phraseology to try to include all human beings. Not just those on whom his favor rests, because really, it rests on all the world. The peace of Christ. The peace of Christ means goodwill. There is something wonderful in the angel lyrics. I'm going to walk you through on the screen tonight. There's two parts, and I want you to hear that it is a normal thing to be around God and find peace. If you're in close to God, it has to be brilliant, wonderful. To get close to God is to have peace. Whether it's that you see him, as you will one day, when the curtains open and there's Jesus, or even now. That's because we're created to crave peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. And it's not just a beauty pageant thing, you know, peace on earth. It's what the angels declared. And they did so because it is the human desire. It's in the Hebrew, the word shalom. Now, usually when people describe shalom, they talk about the absence of conflict. That everything is calm. And you remember hearing that during World War II, the both sides, they declared a truce. And they even spent some time together because on Christmas, who should be at war? But it's more than that. Shalom really means when everything's working right, when a machine is humming along, oh, some of you are into your engines and you love the sound of a rip-roaring engine. You know what I'm talking about. I had a friend in Texas, and he could hear when a machine was tuned. He was a diesel mechanic. And he would put his ear to a machine when it's running at the oil derricks, and he could tell you what was broken by listening. In a factory, you can hear the machines running. And often people who've been there a long time, they can say, oh, there's a machine on that side. Something's messing up. But something has destroyed this shalom. And that something actually is the heart of man, not aligned anymore with God's. Adam and Eve, and on through, every human heart is out of sync with God. They follow their own hearts rather than staying connected in close. And from the moment of conception, we have our moments when it is in tune, but a majority of the time, we're the one that's getting out of rhythm, and God has to adjust to us. When we were in a cannery in Alaska, it was a fish cannery for salmon. I ran a lot of the machines upstairs, got pretty good at them, and I would then be the trainer for young people that would come in. I was only maybe 3 years older, 4 years older than some of them. I remember a young man that just wouldn't listen. I kept saying, don't. Don't touch the machine when it's running. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you've worked around powerful machines and it's got tin in it, mind you, sharp-edged tin, what are you going to do? Put your finger in there? That's what he did. And he lost it. He lost the end of his finger. That was a horrible day in my life because I had told him, and he just didn't listen. You know, when man does that, it just shows that we're out of rhythm, out of sync with God. And it shows up in all those conflicts. Can you say that in December it was perfect for you? Absolute peace everywhere I went. I mean, nothing rattled me. I doubt it. You know, it is true that sometimes your rhythm is good, and sometimes you're in balance more than at other times. But when you're in those busy aisles, crowded spaces, when people are pushing and shoving, or when they're cutting you off on the road, how are you? How are you feeling inside? Like, oh man, thank you. No, most of us get elevated, agitated, and it leads to strife. You see, the problem isn't them. It is, in a sense, because you can always be afflicted by someone else, but they don't have the strings of your heart. You do. I have the strings of my heart. Even when they're rude, when they're unconscionable, when they're egotistical, when they are, you go on with the list. It's not that person's fault when you blow it, when you lose it. Having the inner peace would mean that you can balance even in the worst of storms. You stay calm. Try it sometime. I bet you can do it for a while, but there's something that's going to push you over, and then it blows. You see, the angel sang out from their heart. Luther wrote it this way: good news from heaven the angels bring, glad tidings to the earth they sing. To us this day a child is given to crown us with the joy of heaven. And as the angels ripped open the fabric of the stars and began to proclaim glory to God in the highest, it was the heart of God coming to earth. Luther also said, Christmas began in the heart of God. It is complete only when it reaches the heart of man. What I find most interesting about that song is how genuine it was. The angels had been setting this up for how many centuries? I mean, they couldn't wait. They knew the plan of God. They knew that it was coming, and they would be the ones that would proclaim the peace to human beings. Did you know there's only been one Christmas? All the rest are anniversaries. It was on one Christmas for a little girl that came up in the Reader's Digest version. She said she was 11 years old, and it was a hard Christmas because Mom had always been saying, we don't have much. Don't get your expectations too high. There aren't going to be many presents. And she said in previous years, they would pile up and spill out from underneath the tree, and we would shake and rattle, and all of the children do that. At some point, you just cannot contain yourself. You want to see what's in there. I know there are probably, not you, but your brother or sister that unwrapped them and then rewrapped them again. Ooh, if Mom ever knew, you know. And this little girl had one particular present that she kept shaking and it had no name on it. And as the unwrapping was occurring, Mom came over and handed it to her. But she caught Dad's eyes. His eyes were big, and he was like, really? And she figured it out, being only 11, that the present wasn't for her, it was for Mom. But Mom was giving it to her. She said, you can't believe what it's like to open it up. It was something simple. It was a hair dryer, a hair blower. She says, I've never forgotten that Christmas because it wasn't the gift. It was the giver that I finally saw. How much Mom would do, what it meant to her to put that gift in my hands because she loved me. And genuinely and sincerely, she watched as I opened it up and she beamed with love and with joy. Yeah? Do you realize that's only a little reflection of God? He has given because it is meaningful. He has given because he has desired to. Peace on earth, goodwill to mankind. The angel's song actually celebrates how much peace is worth. And do we recognize that? That little girl saw in her mother's eyes that this was her gift. But it was meaningful that she should give it over. It meant more. And if any of you have ever been around a military family who've given up a son or a daughter, I have. I delivered papers to a family that lost their son. He jumped on a grenade and he rescued all kinds. He saved, like they think, 40 or 50 women and children because he died in honor by jumping on a grenade during the Vietnam War. I knew that family had a huge amount of grief, but they were also proud that their son had done something so heroic. You see, God brings a peace to the hostility that is in human hearts. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, he himself is our peace. He has brought the two into harmony, God and man. He's the bond because he is both God and man. In fact, as the angels would sing this, the real expression is Emmanuel. Sometimes we get caught up in all of the Christmassy stuff and we look at the baby, as you just watched on screen, and we don't get it turned over. It's not the baby as a human. One writer, John MacArthur, said, if we could condense all the truths of Christmas into only three words, these would be the words, God with us. And he went on to say, we tend to focus our attention on the infancy of Christ. The greater truth of the holiday is his deity. More astonishing than a baby in the manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth. It's not a baby human, but baby God. And there's the proclamation of peace. You see, because he came to gift it, to bestow it on us, and the angels told the shepherds that night that this would solve all their problems. And the shepherds would go off and they would confirm it, just as we saw. They gave the bright light and the brilliant singing, wonderful testimony. And the shepherds went off and they confirmed it. They found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. To the prophet Isaiah, God promises, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." What is goodwill? I think it's when a family's in harmony, when there's laughter. Believe me, I've seen both up close. When a family has such a tenor among them that you just want to linger. I distinctly remember a time with my mom and dad. They're both home in heaven. And there was such laughter. And it was with mom's brothers and a couple of the extended family. It was the harmony that you wish could go on for hours. And especially some of those stories from their childhood. The uncles told me things I wanted to remember. Wow. What I think is exceptional goodwill is when you understand grace. Peace on earth, goodwill to mankind, means God has given everything and you don't have to give a thing. It's all given as a free gift. It's given because he wanted to do that for you. He desired that. The difficult days get us distracted. And sometimes we forget that life on earth is going to be filled with a lot of anomalies, difficulties, troubles. But there's a day when it will all end. Right now, we can't even imagine how the scriptures describes heaven as no more tears, no more pain. All the problems are gone. We cannot fathom. But we can believe, we can desire, we can want goodwill like that. And it is a guarantee. In Christ, it is a guarantee. And it's free. How good it is to receive what you most wanted and never have to pay for it. How good is free? Well, it can't get any better than that because you don't deserve it, yet it is awesome. It has come to you. It's about the gift and it's about the love. Larry Libby wrote this. Again, I'm astounded sometimes at the insight of authors. Late on a sleepy, star-spangled night, those angels peeled back the sky just like you would tear open a sparkling Christmas present. Then with light and joy pouring out of heaven like water through a broken dam, they began to shout and sing the message that baby Jesus had been born. The world had a Savior. The angels called it good news. And it was. To be at peace with God means I have complete balance in my heart. Peace within. It's peace that surpasses understanding. It's peace that shows in my engaged relationships, and even if a stranger tries to take that away, it cannot rob that from our hearts. I think only a few people have lived that really well, and some of them were martyrs. They held on to the peace like Stephen when he would see and believe, even as they were stoning him to death, and he would pray for those who had achieve such wickedness and evil and hatred. He would release them from that just as his Savior had released him. You see, you're worth more. You're worth the price that Jesus paid, his own body and blood. You're worth it to him. And when he died, he had your name on his lips. That's the peace of Christ that means goodwill. You're worth more than you could ever imagine. And on this Christmas Eve, I hope you unwrap that gift again and again, because it's peace on earth, goodwill to us. Amen.